Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessing. Today's exciting program features an interview with Rabbi Kurt Schneider and wonderful music. Stay with me, I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the office at 585-288-0670. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building.
Shalom Alechem, Hevenu Shalom Alechem, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom Alechem. Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim, shalu shalom, shalu shalom, shalu shalom, shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 shalom. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom.
O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation, I will give you this land. I will bring you back home, I'll bring you back home, all my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you. I will bring you all back home. though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away once I gather you under my wings. I will bring you all back home. So we pray for the peace. We look to the east for the sun rises sudden and fierce. Every prophet and priest and king in the city will look on the one they pierced. We will mourn for the one we have pierced. But don't fear, oh my daughters, sons of Abraham, I will wash you with water. I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you. I will never let go. No. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take.
That was a great song, Aaron Schust, from Joshua Aaron's Live at the Tower of David CD. All right, next here's a word about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, and I highly recommend them. You want to make sure that your head is on straight, all right?
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013, with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com. Here's an oldie but goodie from the group Israel's Hope. You might recognize the voice of Paul Wilbur. This is Give Thanks to the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. He is good, He is good, and His love will forever endure. We will bless His name as we all proclaim His love endures forever. Outstretched arm and by His might, and His love endures forever. Adonai, Adonai, Baruch Hashem, Adonai, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yeshua Teinu.
Next, here's Bat Rivka Witten, and it's called A Land Flowing with Milk, and that is what they described Israel as early in the Bible. It talks about a land flowing with milk and honey. Eretz Zevat Chalav. Enjoy. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. This is Ethel Chadwick.
vash eretavat halav halav de vash eretavat halav halav de vash eretavat halav halav de vash eretavat halav eretavat halav eretavat halav eretavat halav.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. Here's Marty Goetz.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hear Yeshua cry. How I long to gather you to me. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Messiah wept for you. So should we not be weeping too? For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Zion's sake, I'll not hold my peace. For Zion's sake, for Jerusalem, I will not rest. I will not rest. I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace. Day or night, O you who call upon the Lord for Zion's sake. I've said watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never, never hold their peace. Day or night, all we who call upon you, Lord, will take no rest. Give you no rest till you make Jerusalem a praise in the earth, a praise in the earth for Zion the same. For Zion's sake, I'll not hold my peace. For Zion's sake, for Jerusalem, I will not rest. I will not rest. I will not rest. I will not rest.
Hello, this is Marty Goetz, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
The world's greatest army was beside the sea, while Miriam played her tambourine, and the ones who came against us were never again to be seen. Joshua marched us down to Jericho. 7 days we walked around, and the city that would mock our God now lays in heaps upon the ground. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. We heard of a rabbi in the Galilee. Thousands go to hear him speak. He says that faith in him is all we need. There are so many who believe. But everyone was surprised on that morning when the stone was rolled away and Yeshua came out of the tomb to conquer even death and the grave. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. And since our God is for us, in whom should we be afraid? Our God reigns. Greater is the one in me than the one who is in the shadows of the darkest night, when courage fades away, I can run to the tower of my refuge, and love sends fear away. My God reigns.
God reigns.
That was a new song from Ted Pierce called Rain. I really like that. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for a fun interview with Rabbi Kurt Schneider. Next, how about some music from Sue Samuel?
Asa Adonai Negila Benismecha Bo. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Ze Hayom Asa Adonai Negila Benismecha Bo.
Shalom, this is Sue Samuel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now, how about my exciting interview with Rabbi Kurt Schneider? Enjoy. Rabbi Kurt Schneider, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Baruch Hashem, good to be here with you, my friend.
I am thrilled to know about you. Just when I think I know everybody in the Messianic movement, the Lord keeps me humble and says, aha, here's someone else you should interview. So, Rabbi Kurt, tell me a little bit about how you were raised. Were you raised in a typical Jewish home?
Well, I was. I was raised in Cleveland, Ohio, in a very Jewish section of Cleveland. It's actually known as a place where there's the second highest concentration of Jews in the world outside of Israel. It's a place called Beechwood, Ohio. 95% of the people there are Jewish. Our schools were closed. I'm talking about public schools on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So very, very strong Jewish culture that I was raised in. We eventually moved from Beechwood to another eastern suburb in Cleveland called Pepper Pike, which wasn't as strongly Jewish, but still had a large Jewish contingency there, and found my best friends were all still Jewish again. I was bar mitzvah in a conservative synagogue. So I was very, very much raised in the culture of my people.
Wow. And did you ever hear anything about Jesus growing up or not?
I knew nothing about Jesus growing up. I mean, I never thought about Jesus. I never wondered about Jesus. Jesus was as far away to me as the man on the moon. And it was just a total not part of my reality at the time.
So tell me, how did a nice Jewish boy like you find out that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah?
Well, I was struggling in life. I was 20 years old. I had come out of a situation in life where, let me back up just a bit, Ethel. I was a very committed high school athlete. I wrestled all through school. I started wrestling in seventh grade. Every year that went by, I became more and more committed to the sport. I got to the place where everybody knew me as Kurt Schneider, the wrestler. I kind of lived it, ate it, drank it, slept it. I trained like a professional athlete, and it really defined in my own mind who I was and also the way other people knew me. And I got to a place where I felt like I could, I felt like I was capable of beating anybody. And so that was my world. But it all changed the moment I walked off the wrestling mat after wrestling my last match in high school, because in an instant I realized, as I looked into the future, Ethel, that the world that I was moving into, the bigger world, the world that was bigger than people that wrestled my weight class, that world was a world that I had no control in. There were forces at work that were bigger than I, and I felt vulnerable. In other words, when I was wrestling, I blocked everything out of my mind but people that wrestled my weight class. And because I felt like I was in control in that environment, there I had a lot of security, but it was very fragile. So when wrestling ended, then all of a sudden I was faced with the reality of the of death. I knew, you know, as an 18-year-old that the chances of my dying were unlikely. But yet, you know, when I would read about a car accident when a young person died, I thought, you know, it's unlikely that's going to happen to me, but it's possible. And just the fact that I knew it was possible, it really kind of created a chink in my armor. And, you know, I saw the movie The Exorcist when I was 16 years old.
Oy.
I said to my... Ethel?
I said, oy.
Yeah, it was a terrible experience. I mean, I literally, you know, I received no personal teaching in the synagogue about the devil, but I knew after I saw that movie that they couldn't make a movie like that unless there was some kind of power out there that would be in our spiritual atmosphere, that it would allow such a thing to be manifest in the material world. So I started, you know, I was very, very frightened by that. So to make a long story short, when wrestling ended at 18 years old, I got a small scholarship to wrestle at the University of Tampa, but frankly, it didn't mean anything anymore to me, and they ended up, the university ended up dropping the program. And I had lost my identity, and I no longer felt secure and protected, so I was struggling in life. And I started, you know, grasping for straws. What can I do to start feeling good again, like I did when I was wrestling? And I thought about becoming a doctor, but frankly, I knew that I didn't have the aptitude to be a doctor. I thought about becoming a lawyer, but in the back of my head, I thought, well, what's going to happen if you do end up becoming a successful attorney, but then you reach 65 years of age and you have to retire from this? Won't you feel like you do right now again? You'll have built your life on something that ended. In other words, just as, you know, my whole world was turned upside down when wrestling ended, I imagine that if I built my life on some career, I'd find myself in the same boat again, having built my life on something that came to an end. So I was lost and I was struggling. And I was in such a pain that I literally spent as much time as I could sleeping just to escape kind of the fear and the confusion that I was living in. Eventually, I dropped out of college, and I thought, you know, maybe if I make a lot of money, it'll help to take away some of this pain, even though, frankly, I knew that it was not the answer, because I came from a fairly wealthy background. But grasping for straws, I dropped out of college to open up a discotheque. This is in the 1970s. Discos were really hot. And I felt like, wow, if I get one in the right neighborhood, in the right area, it's going to be a gold mine. So my plan was to put the business plan together and then find investors, friends of the family, and run the discotheque and be an owner, having equity in it, because, you know, I was the founder and running the business. But I knew the first thing that I needed to do was find the right location for the discotheque. So I needed to raise some money to travel around the country to find the right location for my business plan. So I ended up getting a job working for an encyclopedia company called Collier Encyclopedia, and was promoted in a short period of time to being a sales manager there. And I was at a sales manager's meeting one night, and another sales manager was present. We were the first ones to arrive, waiting for the others to come. And he started telling me, Ethel, about this book he had been reading called Autobiography of a Yogi by a guy from India named Parabhansa Yogananda. And he started telling me, yeah, this guy from India can beat up tigers with his bare hands. He can levitate off the ground. And I thought, wow, that sounds really cool. So I went out and bought the book. It was probably the first book I ever bought in my whole life with my own money. And started reading the book, you know, saw the pictures in the book of this guy supposedly levitating off the ground. And Ethel, I always had a simple faith in God. I said, God, I said, if this is real, if this guy can really levitate off the ground, I said, I found my new wrestling. This is what I want to do. Because this is a higher reality than making money. And I just imagined how good I'd feel levitating off the ground. So I'm in the middle of reading this book. I'm going through this spiritual awakening as I'm reading the book. And I go to sleep one night. This is an August summer night in 1978. And I'm suddenly awoken from my sleep, and it was like I was in a state of conscious awareness, like a heightened supernatural awareness. My eyes were closed, and then in an instant, in color, Jesus appeared on the cross. I could see the terrain the cross was in. There were some people in the background looking at him as he was being crucified. And then Ethel, a ray of red light from straight through the sky, from straight above, beamed down on Yeshua's head. When I saw that ray of red light beam down on his head, I knew the ray of light was coming from God. It was coming from you know, through the sky, and that God was telling me that Jesus was the way to him. But mind you, I had never read the New Testament, and no one had ever witnessed to me. Jesus was, again, as far away to me as the man on the moon. So this was completely, like, out of my realm. But when it happened, I knew that God was showing me that he was alive, that he loved me, and that Jesus was the way to him. And that's that was really how I got saved.
That is incredible, especially because no one was talking to you about the Lord. No one was witnessing to you. So, I mean, what did you do with this information? Who did you tell?
Well, I was very excited. I got out of my bed. I went to the restroom. It was 3:30 in the morning. I went back to sleep. The next morning, I started telling my family about it. And I had no idea what I was in for. I mean, because, again, Jesus was just never discussed in my home. I mean, I was never even warned about Jesus. I mean, Jesus was just like nothing to, you know, it was just not there. So I was not really aware of what the problems that I was going to be facing with my family or with the Jewish community, because the discussion had never arisen. So I told my family, my mom, my dad, my younger brother, my younger sister, and no one really reacted much. They probably thought it was a dream and it would be over in a few days. But I mean, what happened to me marked me, and I started telling everybody about it. And eventually someone said to me, even though all my close friends were Jewish but one, and he was anything but a Christian, but I knew a lot of people, so I was telling everybody about my vision, and eventually somebody said to me, well, you need to go get a New Testament. So I went out and bought the New Testament and started devouring it, realized it was different than the teaching and autobiography of a yogi, so I threw out the autobiography of a yogi book, and I continued on with Jesus. And my parents, you know, really panicked when they saw how serious it was. They hired the most famous deprogrammer in the country, Ted Patrick from California. They flew him in from San Diego to kidnap me in Cleveland, which they did, to deprogram me. That when that didn't work, they invited a Jewish psychiatrist over my home just to bait me, to tell him that I had a vision of Jesus so that he could probate me to the psychiatric ward of a Mount Sinai hospital in Cleveland for 2 months. So I went through that. And so, basically lost all my friends. I was one of the most popular guys in the school. So it was a major line in the sand that was drawn. But frankly, I don't feel like I lost anything, because I was so messed up before Jesus came to me that if he wouldn't have come to me, my life would have been completely destroyed. So I don't really feel like I paid such a great cost, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure. Well, Rabbi Schneider, did you ever, during this time, did you ever meet any other Jewish people that had come to the same conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah?
Well, not beforehand. I mean, I had no connection or exposure at all. But afterwards, you know, as I started circulating, and I started, there was someone that said, well, you need to come to church with me. So I went to a service with them, and I just started then going to different services all over the city. And eventually I found out about a ministry in Cleveland, Tikva Yisrael. So I started attending there. And but it wasn't long after that I got married, went away to Bible school, and then I started started pastoring traditional churches, and then as time moved on, the Lord moved me into teaching on the Jewish roots of the faith, traveling all over the country. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with my ministry, Ethel, but we broadcast all over the world. Our program is called Discovering the Jewish Jesus. We're on most of the Christian networks, as well as broadcasting through other vehicles around the earth.
Wow. So God certainly is using you, and it sounds like your life completely changed after you made your decision to follow Yeshua.
Well, just like you, right? I mean, if our life doesn't change after meeting Yeshua, then we never met him.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell me a little bit more about your ministry, and if listeners want to support your ministry or become, you know, purchase any resources that you might have, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, first of all, our website is discoveringthejewishjesus.com, discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can also look up my name. You can look on YouTube under Discovering the Jewish Jesus. You can search under my name on YouTube, Rabbi Schneider, just like the trucking company. And, we've got a lot of, different resources, written, many books and so on and so forth. And yeah, if people would like to support us, we're thankful for all the people that do, because without those that are supporting us financially and through their prayers, we wouldn't be able to be reaching people, including Jewish people all over the earth.
Have you had some positive experiences sharing Messiah with Jewish people? I mean, let's face it, our people are stiff-necked. We're stubborn. And sometimes it's easier to share with someone who's not Jewish. So if you don't mind, could you share some experiences that you have had sharing with our fellow Jewish brothers and sisters?
Well, most of the experiences that I could share about are testimonies that we received because of our television ministry. So this is a very interesting story, actually. But what happened was I started broadcasting on television close to 15 years ago, and I was broadcasting locally only in Toledo, Ohio, because I was overseeing a Messianic congregation there. So we just felt it would be good outreach to be on television. Well, what happened was the president of the local Christian television station in Toledo was, and he was on the board of what is called the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Association. And the National Religious Broadcasters Association was given a channel on DirecTV. Again, this is going back now over 10 years ago, close to 15 years ago, approximately. And so again, the president of WLMB, the local Christian channel in Toledo, was on the board of the National Religious Broadcasters Network, and the NRB was given a channel on DirecTV. So when the NRB was given the channel on DirecTV, the president of the local station in Toledo that was on the board called me, and he said to me, "Listen, we just got this channel. Can we show your program, Discovering the Jewish Jesus, on DirecTV?" So I said, absolutely. So they started broadcasting Discovering the Jewish Jesus on DirecTV. What happened was there was a Jewish man in California in the entertainment industry. And he was searching in life, and he was lost. He was a successful guy, had been around the block, and he's searching. He didn't know what to do spiritually. He was very lost, and he must have been flipping through the channels, and he landed on Discovering the Jewish Jesus as he was watching, DirecTV. And he said as he started watching, like something hit him, like some kind of emotion came over him, and he just like almost clasped on the ground weeping. And he didn't know what to make of it. He didn't know what happened. It almost shook him up that he was hit so strongly. So then he went back and he watched me again. The same exact thing happened. And when that happened, it was like he knew God had saved his life. He had found the answer, that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. So this man in California, he sought me out, because what was going on was at the time that my program, although it was on DirecTV, the contact information at the end of my program didn't go to me. It went to the local Christian station that was kind of feeding the my program to this new channel they had got. So this guy somehow, he tracked me down somehow, and he called me at the Messianic synagogue I was shepherding. And he said, "Listen, God used you in such an incredible way in my life. What can I do for you?" So this is a Jewish guy. And I said, "Well, listen, what I'd like to do is I'd like to grow the ministry here and take financial responsibility to air it on other television networks." So this man sent me a financial seed this Jewish man that allowed me then to begin to air the program, you know, on all these different, I mean, it was one network at a time we added. But that was the Jewish man's seed was what allowed me, you know, to become possibly the leading Jewish evangelist in the world in terms of television outreach. So in terms of my personal experience, like one-on-one with Jewish people, probably some of the most interesting opportunities face-to-face have been in Israel, because I just have found them to be much more open to dialogue. But we get consistent testimonies from the United States, from Jewish people that are watching Discovering the Jewish Jesus, that have either come to faith in Yeshua through Discovering the Jewish Jesus, or have been affirmed in their faith in Jesus through our ministry.
Very exciting. I think you and I have something in common. We both really enjoy hearing people's stories. Right.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when there's something supernatural involved, you know, that encourages us, every one of us, for sure.
Amen. Rabbi Schneider, how would you like us to be praying for you, your family, your ministry? Do you have any specific prayer requests?
Well, thank you for your grace, my sister, my new friend. I believe that there's a banner over my life, Ethel, of breakthrough. And we find ourselves, at least what I'm feeling, we're finding ourselves in a culture where the open doors in the natural are fewer and fewer. For example, we tried to actually air a commercial on the Super Bowl this last Super Bowl that aired. I mean, we were willing to pay the price. We were willing to, you know, give them, you know, what we needed to give them to air the commercial. And they came back to us and they said, no, your commercial doesn't meet our standards for non-commercial content. And, you know, we've tried to get on other different networks to try to reach people. But more and more, there's a bias against religious programming, particularly religious programming. And so the doors, you know, are in the natural world, they're closing. And I am believing, though, for a breakthrough, that God is going to be opening doors to be able to get his word out through this ministry. So what I'm requesting prayer for is breakthrough and open doors, that the word of the Lord will run swiftly through my life and through this ministry, that people will be reached. And my goal in life is that, and I know this sounds, you know, a bit over the top, but, you know, this is what my goal is. My goal is, this is when I'll feel successful. If every single man, woman, and child on the planet has received enough information about who Jesus is through my ministry, that they can either accept him or reject him.
I like that. May it be so in the name of Yeshua. May the Lord equip you with all that you need. May he provide all of the finances that you need. And may he keep you and your family and your ministry workers in good health. And may his angels guard you, watch over you, and give you all the energy that you need and all the sleep, the rest that you need. And may the word go forth. In the name of Yeshua. How exciting. I am thrilled to get to know you and your ministry. And I think one day you will hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Oh, thank you, my sister. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Is there anything else you would like to say to the listeners about you or your family or your ministry? Or you have any parting words before we conclude?
Just thank you for having me on, and thank those of you that have taken the time to listen today.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Rabbi Schneider, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be my guest on Bagels and Blessings. And I hope that you will stay in touch with me and let me know what's going on with your ministry and anything that I can do to help you or to be a blessing to you. I can't be a bagel to you, but I can be a blessing.
Oh, good. I love the name of your show, by the way, Bagels and Blessings. That's a great name.
Oh, that's straight from the Lord. Oh, praise God. Well, thank you again. God bless you, and I will talk with you soon.
Be blessed, my sister. Thanks for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Shalom.
Shalom. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Rabbi Schneider. If you missed any part of it, you can catch it on iTunes podcasts or on bagelsandblessings.blogspot.com. I do make a podcast of every program, so I hope that you'll share it with others also. We certainly have time for more music, so how about the group Lamb? Again, this is another oldie but goodie, the Year of Jubilee.
The trumpet everywhere, all throughout the land. Follow my decrees, you must obey my commands. Gather with your families, come sing and clap your hands. It is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, when the Lord set the captives free, it is the year of Jubilee. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sound the trumpet, Israel, let all the people hear. It is I, the Lord your God, draws you near. I have not forsaken you, so have no fear. It is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, when the Lord set the captives free, it is the year. Sound the trumpet everywhere, let his praises ring. Yeshua has redeemed mankind, salvation he brings. By his precious sacrifice are we here standing free. It is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, when the Lord set the captives free, it is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, when the Lord set the captives free, it is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, when the Lord set the captives free, it is the year of Jubilee.
That was such an exciting arrangement. That comes from a CD produced by Greg Silverman, and the CD is called I Am, and the wonderful voices singing such beautiful harmony were Greg Silverman, Joshua Aaron, and Paul Wilbur. And if you're from a Jewish background like me, you might remember that this is a traditional song often sung during Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah. And it's a wonderful, wonderful song. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm a singer and that I simply adore harmony. And so I really wanted to share that with you. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, it's so hard to believe that another hour has gone by. I hope that you enjoyed the music, that you enjoyed the interview. And now, my friends, it is time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Stanley Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.